Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 19th year. I'm your host, Jess Marquez, and our guest today is Rich Sullivan, CEO of Good Giant, to talk about the history and formation of the nationwide advertising powerhouse, its plans for 2024, and a few of Sullivan's favorite campaigns. Today's GGB podcast is sponsored by Pavilion Payments, which empowers gaming institutions to create an enhanced patron experience with a complete suite of integrated payment solutions that enable safe, secure, and trusted cash access at the cage, on the casino floor, or online. Learn more at pavilionpayments.com. If seven seasons of Mad Men didn't make it clear enough, brand power is everything, and few ad firms have had a bigger impact on the gaming industry than Good Giant, led by CEO Rich Sullivan. The result of a 2022 merger between Foundry and Red Square, Good Giant operates offices in Nevada, Oklahoma, Illinois, and Alabama, with a growing portfolio that spans from Hard Rock to Snickers. Sullivan spoke with GGB Managing Editor Jess Marquez via Zoom in January. Rich, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing great. Happy to be here, Jess.
So this is a bit of an interesting episode for us because we don't typically get to hear from this side of the gaming world. You know, we talk a lot about operators and suppliers and basically everything in between, but we don't often get to kind of the marketing and branding side, which is what you at Good Giant are most famous for. So I kind of want to dive into that a little bit, but first, you know, I wanted to get started with you personally. You know, I always like to start with the guests. So, what brought you to this point? You know, is your background always, did you have a start in gaming, or kind of how did you, wander into the industry as it is now?
I wandered into the industry as it is now. I did not have a background in gaming. I also didn't have a background in advertising. So I've been doing this for almost 25 years, and didn't go to school for advertising. My father had an ad agency, so I grew up proximal to advertising, and I was somewhat aware of it. My father did a pretty good job of really not bringing it home, and it was before the internet, so it was kind of home life and work life were pretty separate, and I had no inclination of going into the advertising business whatsoever. Went to Alabama in Tuscaloosa and spent 4 years prepping to go to medical school, and got all the way through and was ready to do that, and just had an existential pivot. And so I called my parents and, you know, and just said, hey, I'm not going to medical school. And they were both wonderful about it. And of course, the very next question is, what are you going to do? And so I somehow, like, I don't know, talked my way into a fifth year at Alabama. And really, it was just to buy myself a little bit of time to figure out what I wanted to do. And so I took some finance and accounting and all of that. But I made a group of friends that have been lifelong friends, and we really spent an inordinate amount of time playing cards. And it was like right at the moment where I was just the right age, where Rounders had come out and the World Series of Poker was getting on ESPN, and it was just kind of bubbling up in the zeitgeist. And Tuscaloosa, Alabama is about an hour and 30 minutes to the east of a tribal casino in Mississippi. So I really spent my fifth year at Alabama in a casino in Mississippi. And it was a wonderful time. I think about it all the time. I've still got this tight group of friends that would go over there together, and we're all still good friends. And we still occasionally play together. And but it was that moment that I was exposed to the category. And so I finished that fifth year and wound up at my father's ad agency the next year, really just to kind of see if it was something I might be interested in. I didn't have any sort of idea that I would be, and I fell in love with advertising. So that's how I got in the ad business. And after a few years of working in the agency, I I started running it pretty quickly. It was a really small agency. My father built a local kind of Gulf Coast ad agency and had built a successful business. And my goal was to build it into a national agency. And one of the ways that that we thought to do that was through the gaming category. I kind of took those two things, the experience my fifth year at Alabama and the opportunity that my father put in front of me with this agency to try and build a business. And so really happenstance, but just sort of following where things go.
Well, that's fascinating. And, you know, I will say, having never been to Alabama, I must admit, I can't imagine that your, you know, your story with your fifth year and everything is like, I can't imagine you're probably not the only one to do that. And I will say, you know, before we go on, you know, my condolences to you. I'm sure, you know, it was a tough game on Monday, but I'm sure you guys will be right back there here pretty soon.
Yeah, it was. And my fifth years at the University of Alabama are typically extra football season sort of victory laps. And we were awful when I was in school.
It probably wasn't the glory of now. Yeah.
I caught like my freshman year, I caught the tail end of Gene Stallings. And then it was like rotating revolving door kind of thing until we found Saban later, and just probably the finest hire the state of Alabama has ever made. But, but yeah, it was a tough game Monday.
Interesting. So, you know, you mentioned you kind of, you connected those two forms, you know, to kind of get into the gaming space. So like when you were first kind of breaking into the space, so to speak, kind of what was that like, and kind of, how did the development go, you know, how did it rev up eventually to where we're at now, obviously where you guys have a heavy hand in that?
Yeah, it was slow going to begin with. So this is in the early, I got to the agency in 2000. We started pursuing the gaming category pretty closely after that. And the last 23 or 4 years, the gaming category has obviously changed.
Tremendous.
At the time, I liked it because I personally liked it. I think it's easier to be to work in advertising when you're working on things you love. Of course, we've worked on all sorts of stuff, and the advertising business is typically, most agencies are jacks of all trade and masters of none, and you could get really interested in selling, you know, a tire iron or something. And, but I really was attracted to the category because I liked it. It had, you know, I mean, there's so many different components from an amenity standpoint. I like to play golf. I don't mind a nice hotel. I like a good steak. I like to play cards. Like, what's, you know, I can probably speak the language. And beyond that, it was just, I felt like it was a good opportunity because not a lot of agencies were focusing on it because they hadn't really had to. At the time, as you know, tribal gaming has really only been around since, you know, early and mid 90s. So it hadn't really proliferated across the country, and there wasn't the saturation that you have in the marketplace at this point. And so it was a build it to some degree, a build it and they will come type of a market. And so agencies weren't as valued, and they also just weren't attracted to the work. The demographic was skewed a little bit older, and it was sort of viewed as a schlocky category from an advertising standpoint, and just wasn't where the action was, so to speak. And but I thought that was a marker for opportunity. And so we're close in Mobile, Alabama, which is where we're based. We're proximal to Biloxi, Mississippi, so 45 minutes. And you're in a pretty good regional gaming market. And so the first thing we did was we went over there and banged on every door we could. And everyone was receptive. We got meetings, but it's like any other situation where you are a man without a portfolio. You sort of show up and you're eager, and they could tell we were eager to be in the space, but they're like, well, tell us what success you've had with other clients. And, you know, the answer is we've had none. They were like, well, great, come back when you've got something. And so the next place we just sort of lucked into it, we called the Porch Band of Creek Indians in Atmore, Alabama, who were operating a gaming facility, but they hadn't built Wind Creek yet. And so they were still a very small player in a market that nobody thinks about. And they hired us. And that was about 20 years ago. And so that really got us into the market. We did some nice stuff with them, and we continue to work with Wind Creek today. So they're our first and longest running client. And the Porch Creeks have built an incredible business with the Wind Creek brand in the 20 years since. I mean, they're one of the most innovative, quickly growing operators in the country. And so we were in the right place at the right time. We did some nice work with them, and then we got hired over in Biloxi, and then we got hired over in Oklahoma, and then we got hired up in New England, and it just sort of, we were off to the races at that point.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and it really, you know, when you talk about it, it really kind of falls in line with what you hear, the theme of a lot of successful businesses, where it's like about filling a need and then growing alongside, you know, as that need grows, you know.
Absolutely.
And that kind of brings us, you know, in some ways to the present, or at least, you know, to the recent past. And I was very interested I actually had just started in this job pretty much when I first saw you guys' announcement in 2022. Combined, it was a Red Square and Foundry combined to create Good Giant, which you guys are now. Could you kind of talk us through, you know, how that process came about, and then kind of how it's gone in the, I think, what is it, about a year and a half, almost 2 years since?
Yep.
And also, also as an aside, where did the name Good Giant come from? Because that was all, you know, every time you guys work with us, and every time we put it into our editorial schedule, I'm like, Good Giant. I'm like, where did that even come from? You know what I mean? Like, so I'm curious to hear.
Well, I'll start with how we got together with Foundry. So there were two ways that we transformed our company into a national agency out of the Gulf Coast. And the first was really to focus on people and talent and doing really great advertising. And the second was to find a category that we could own and grow with, to your point. And gaming was that category. And just to be clear, we're not 100% gaming. We've debated that over the years. We've gone back and forth, and we've arrived at this idea that having a heavy concentration to about 80% of our business in gaming and 20 in non-gaming is really a magic formula for us. One, it gives us all of the benefit of category concentration from a growth standpoint, but it also gives us a little bit of variety and a way to learn from categories outside of the business, so we don't get tunnel vision. So we're learning from other best practices in different categories. That's really what we put in place in the early 2000s and into the 2010s, and we were growing very nicely. Like, it took us about, between the time we got working with the Porch Creek group in Alabama, we spent about the next 6 or 7 years sort of figuring out the business, and then in 2010 we took off. And so from 2010 until 2019, we had established clientele all over the place. We were doing some really great non-gaming work for big brands like Snickers and Twix. And so we had this great portfolio mix. And going into 2020, it was like, wow, this is going to be a really strong year. And then, of course, you know, early 2020 happened, and it just changed everything. I mean, just, there's not a single thing that wasn't up in the air, particularly with 80% of our clients being in the casino business. And so in March, when all the casinos shut down, I really didn't know another agency that was in the same exact situation as we were, other than my friend Jim Bowserman at Foundry. There's just not a lot of agencies that focus on gaming and have the same kind of composition and concentration in the business. So I knew Jimmy did, and I had met Jim at G2E a few years previous to the pandemic. And we had been friendly, and he was one of the first phone calls I made. So in March, I pick up the phone. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, man, I don't know. What are you doing? And so we started talking, and it was just a dialogue. And then once everybody calmed down a little bit and travel resumed and some properties started getting back open over the summertime, I went out to see him, and we just started talking about what would it look like if we went into business. And we toyed with it, and we were like, well, you know, that could be cool, and let's maybe test the waters for a little bit first. And so I left Nevada and came back to Alabama, and we kept up, and then we started partnering on projects together over the course of late 20 and into 21. And then we were like, you know, let's give it a go. So that took us several months to get it all orchestrated. And then we finally got a merger completed in middle of 22. So just a ton of work that goes into that. And it's been a year and a half, and it's been a good year and a half. There's a ton of learning that happens when you put two companies together. I think that culture, and we're a people business. So getting the company put together in the right way just takes time, and you can't force things. You kind of have to let things take their own course and make sure everybody understands the vision of the company. So the brand, to answer the second part of your question, so that's how we got together. Really, it was a couple of agency CEOs getting together early in the pandemic talking about the future. And we're optimistic about it, but we're also in the same breath, we're like, if we put these companies together, just by nature of the size, that's going to be a stronger company, just, you know, strength in numbers kind of thing. And the name was, we really went back and forth on what to call the thing, like everybody else who, you know, undertakes a business move. It's like, well, what brand, you know, should we keep Red Square? Should we keep Foundry? And before we closed the deal, we had our management teams get together, and which is always kind of a touchy thing, and to introduce the thought that we're going to put the companies together. And we talked about the brand, and we kind of let it lay for a minute. And it became really apparent that one of the challenges when you put two companies together is that, you know, you have people that are, mainly from a cultural standpoint, there's different like idiosyncrasies and approaches. Nothing major, but things as simple as referring to how Red Square did something or how Foundry did something was something we wanted to be really conscious about, because it is a new company, and we're trying to build the best agency in the gaming category. Period. It doesn't have to be the biggest. It doesn't have to be, we're not looking to have a certain number of people or a certain number of clients. We want to be the best. And so the name for us was aspirational. So we put a brief together, and the brief was the bigger you get, the smaller you should act. That whole idea that we want to be a big company with all the resources of a large agency, like depth of talent, just sheer scale. Because the gaming category, from an advertising standpoint, is really, really, really rigorous. If you think about a big resort property and all of the different programming and content that has to be dealt with on a daily basis and a monthly basis, it is hundreds of pieces of creative. So it's logistically grueling. And so you have to have scale to do that in mass and to truly be able to deliver great work thousands of times to these clients day in and day out. And so this idea of building this big, wonderful company, that's kind of the giant side of the equation. But the good side of it is sort of the juxtaposition of, we don't want to become this big, enormous company that doesn't serve its clients the way that a small agency would, with the scrappiness and attention to detail and the service level. And also just like this idea that we're an underdog, because we still feel like we're an underdog. We're coming out of really interesting markets, the Gulf Coast and, Northern Nevada and then Tulsa, and you've got all these kind of secondary markets, and we're trying to build an agency that is really recognized nationally as being great and focused on this category. So that's where the name comes from. We want to have all this heft, and we want to have all these resources, but we want to have the attitude of a tiny shop that has something to prove.
Well, that's fascinating. And, selfishly, that's one of my favorite parts of doing these interviews. Like I said, is I get to learn more about these things that I would have never known. And I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think also, now that I think about it, I always tell people, they're probably tired of hearing about it, but, I don't consider myself to be a very business oriented person or sales oriented person. And so anytime somebody tells me a story like that regarding business and how like this transformation takes place, I just have a lot of admiration for it, because I just know, I can't even begin to think of all the logistical, from the biggest to even the smallest, most minute things. And also, oh, yeah, too, with a situation like this where, it's not as if, and I don't mean to make it sound like any merger is easy, but it's not as if, you're two resort companies coming together to be a resort company. The advertising space is really, it's hard to create a brand. It's hard to create a style, and, especially to merge the two. And I will say that, again, selfishly, I look at your guys' work and I'm really impressed by just the aesthetics of it. I mean, obviously, everybody has their own tastes and preferences, especially in advertising. But I just think your guys' look and feel is exceptionally modern, but also kind of harkens back to, I mean, almost like you said to your father, with the old style ads with really clear, legible text, really clean visuals and kind of things like that. And I really like it. As you guys kind of move forward now and into 2024, what is your kind of outlook? What are your expectations, for the year ahead?
First, I appreciate that. And I can tell you that a lot of the stuff that we've done for our brand is inspired by a lot of the old school 1980s and 70s and 80s Chiat Day work. So a lot of the stuff, like the stuff we run and GGB and all of that, I really appreciate the that you're picking up on that kind of that sort of old school approach with a modern twist. That as far as 2024, we're extremely optimistic. I think that a big part of putting these companies together is just getting the right people in the right spots and making sure that everybody understands what the vision of the company is and where we're going, what we're trying to do, and making sure the clients understand that and the clients understand all of the additional services that we offer because of the combination of these two companies. And 18 months in, it feels like we are finally like clicked into gear and ready to go clobber the market. And which is really exciting. And I think so we're starting to see a pipeline develop. We've been really pretty quiet, other than staying consistent with you guys and in the category. We really haven't gotten outbound yet with our marketing, and that's going to change in the first quarter of this year. So people are going to start hearing our name over and over and over. And I'm going to start, we're going to start creating content. We've got a bunch of really smart people at this company that have a lot to share. And so we're going to start to do that. Beyond that, I think it's a, Our growth has really been alongside the category. So I think the category growth, as you know, has been exceptional since 2020. And you know, it's like, what are the prospects of continued blistering growth? And I think that we're seeing every single one of our clients in some sort of capital expansion. They're either looking outside of their backyard for acquisitions, they're expanding their land-based properties, they're getting into different digital aspects of gaming, whether that's, you know, social or iGaming, and certainly sports has been a crazy couple of years with growth there. So we think the opportunities for an agency like us are going to be plentiful. Our existing core business is going to grow, and we think the new business opportunity is going to be pretty strong. So it's our focus is really making sure we've got the talent in place, and that to me is if we've got the right people and we're doing the right kind of work and we're pushing the clients from a strategic and creative standpoint, the client the growth of our company will happen naturally. And so it's kind of focus on our people and doing great work for our existing clients, and everything else seems to take care of itself after that. So 24 is going to be the year we sort of hit the pavement and see what we can do as a, you know, as an expanded company, which is exciting.
Certainly, sir. And, you know, I will certainly be on the lookout for that. I have one more for you, and I thank you again so much for taking the time. I want to get you out of here quickly on this one. But I love talking when I get the opportunity to talk with people who have businesses that are outside of gaming, because obviously the majority of people I talk to are hyper focused on the industry. But there are a few exceptions, you know, payment companies, advertisers, you know, so people who have outside interests. And I'm always fascinated, like, especially from an advertising sense, because, you know, you mentioned you guys have had some like really awesome, you know, non-gaming additions and such. What's your favorite non-gaming kind of brand or company that you guys have gotten to work with so far? I know there's a couple candy ones. There's Twix and Snickers. Is there any others that really stick out as your mind as being exceptionally cool?
Yeah, I'll end the interview where we started. We had an opportunity about 6 or 7 years ago to do the first institutional brand campaign for the University of Alabama.
Oh, awesome.
and that's, we've worked for brands all over the place, but we did the campaign Where Legends Are Made.
Okay. That's awesome.
And it's been, you know, whether that campaign was great or whether the timing was great, you could argue, but that campaign is one that I'm probably most proud of outside of gaming, because of the longevity. And I had a bunch of friends that went out to Pasadena this past week, and to see our design held up by people all over the country, and you know, in the Rose Bowl, and to see that work live for almost a decade, and really become sort of part of the fabric of the University of Alabama, makes me really proud. And so that'd be my favorite one. I know I'm kind of giving you a Homer answer there, but it is. And but that's what's great about advertising too. And it's we love to see it in our gaming clients as well. Like, we are the more and more our clients understand that the power of a really good brand, particularly in a crowded market, and gaming is a very crowded market at this point, brand really is going to be a differentiator for your success. Your winners and your losers are going to be separated by the ones that have the stronger brands. And that's how you make connections with your players and your guests. And so that's the type of work we like to do, the stuff that really changes businesses and becomes a part of the business itself. Because all the tactics and the promos and all of that type of stuff are going to continue to evolve and change. But what really can start to accrue and build value for a company through advertising is on the brand side of things. So so anyway, we're excited about the prospect of what we've got happening, and certainly appreciate you taking interest and taking the time to talk to us.
Certainly. And I would certainly agree. And I would be remiss if I did not shout out one of my favorite professors from college, Professor Van Coor, who always preached the value of branding. And that is obviously a great example of that with the University of Alabama. Rich, I know you got other stuff to do today, so I will let you go. I know you're a busy man. I want to thank you again for taking the time. Wish all the best to you and Good Giant. We at GGB will definitely have our eyes and ears trained on what you guys got going on. A special shout out to all the folks at the Reno office. I've never been there, but I'm sure they're all great folks if they're there. So Rich, thanks again, and I hope you have a great one.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate everything you guys do for the industry.
Awesome, awesome. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Take care.
How are you too, buddy?
Thank you for joining us on the GGB podcast, sponsored by Pavilion Payments. Pavilion Payments is the entertainment and gaming industry's biggest vertically integrated payment provider, offering solutions that create a simple, secure, and more effective way for patrons to wager and fund their play. Learn more about the full suite of gaming solutions available at pavilionpayments.com. To learn more about Rich, Good Giant, and all the important issues in gaming, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the weekly news of the gaming industry, subscribe to ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss an episode of the GGB podcast by subscribing on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.